Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts Live, broadcasting to you today from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Midtown Atlanta, overlooking the majestic Buckhead skyline where the clouds are dark, but the day has been lovely. We've had some warm weather in the south after a miserable week where 2 inches of ice and snow paralyzed the city of Atlanta once again. At any rate, folks, this is a great time to be alive. We've got a lot of things that are happening in our nation, and I have something that I just wanted to say before we really kind of get into the program. We hear all of this talk about what, you know, how terrible it would be and how unfair if we stopped this program or that program, or we need this, we need that. Remember when President Obama was running for office and he said that the $10.6 trillion that we had as our national debt was a disgrace, and that what President Bush was doing was using a credit card in the name of our children and our grandchildren to the Bank of China to pay for things that we couldn't afford. Now, apparently what was good for the goose was even better for the gander, because when Obama took office, the $10.6 trillion has become $17.3. That's an increase in our national debt of a whopping 62%. Now, I want to tell you something. We can't live like this. We can't sustain this. Things are going to crash. What's even worse, they keep talking about, oh, the job numbers are looking better. More jobs are being added. President Obama and his great policies have helped the numbers with this, that, and the other. Well, I just want to tell you something. When George Bush left office, the workforce was 154 million people. It is now 145 million. So that's a decrease in 9 million jobs. At the same time, our population has gone from 310 to 317 million people. We have more people here and less people working. This isn't working. Which brings me to the subject that we have today, because we have Mitch Swann back with us, who is going to tell us the part three of his STAR plan about how to save the United States of America. And by the way, Mitch is running for the 10th congressional seat as a Republican in the state of Georgia. It's an open seat, and there are half a dozen Republicans running. Now, let me just tell you this. If he gets the nomination, he'll be the congressman. Period. He's a Marine Corps veteran and actually still on active duty. But he's the kind of guy with the kind of integrity that we need to go to Washington. Not only that, but he's smart. And he's on the line right now, as is my brother Richard. So let me just say, Mitch, are you there?
I am, Jack. How are you?
Good, how are you? And Dick, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Jack. Hi, Mitch.
Oh, hi, Dick. How are you, sir?
Good. Jack, it's nice to hear that there's a person that wants to run for Congress that has a brain and a backbone both.
Well, and I'm just going to add this. It's nice to have somebody who has the kind of gumption and isn't our basic squat-to-pee man. I'm tired of wimpy people. And I'm just going to say that like that because this is my program. All right, Mitch, what's that? We started out, we talked about a way to have immigration that works. And then last week, what was our subject? What did we talk about?
We talked about tax reform and going to a flat tax.
My favorite of the programs that we've had so far, the flat tax. All right, now today we're going to talk about something that is very near and dear to the hearts of the radio host and his co-host, Social Security. Take it away, Mitch.
All right, well, thank you, Jack. And I just want to remind that your listeners that if there's questions that they have, if they go to my website, Swan for America, they can find all the information. They'll find videos, questions and answers, and I walk them through all of these things here. The challenge today, Social Security, right? Largest entitlement program in the world. And we all know it's going to be insolvent by 2037. So all these young kids that are paying into it with their first jobs, they're buying into something they already know will not be there for them in their later years. Now, there is a way to fix it, and we must fix it. And we're able to do it because of the first two bills that we've passed, and I'll tie those in later. But the unique thing that I want everyone to understand about my plan is I'm going to do four things that you absolutely cannot do and get elected. It's the four things they never talk about, but when we get done with our conversation, this is my David Blaine magic trick. You're going to absolutely love the way I do this, and you're actually going to want to vote for how I do this. The four things I do is I'm going to raise taxes, and I can already see a roll in your eyes. He's going to raise taxes. He's going to raise the age of retirement. He's going to use my mortality to not pay me my benefits. I'm going to reduce the benefits you absolutely get at age 70, and I'm going to expand the base of those paying into the system. So how can I do those four things and be successful? Well, the first I'll address expanding the base of supporters, the people that pay into it. Remember, in Bill 1, we expanded our population by letting those immigrants now work towards a pathway for citizenship. The other thing, for raising taxes, most people don't understand this about Social Security, but Social Security, we pay 6.2% to the government from our payroll, and our employers match that dollar for dollar. But they only do it up to $113,700. All income above that threshold is not taxed. And that surprises some people. If you make $50,000 a year, you pay 100% of what you owe for Social Security. But if you make $50 million a year, you only pay enough to cover $113,700 of your salary. Now, obviously, most people would say, well, that seems fair because the affluent people are being taxed 39.6%. And so Social Security on 100% of their payroll would take them over the 45% threshold. But remember, in Bill 2, we lowered everyone's tax to 15%. So that's one thing I want to keep people in mind. I'm not really raising taxes as much as I am eliminating the ceiling and allowing all payroll to be taxed 100% for Social Security. I raised the age of retirement to 70. So I moved it from 67, the way it is today, up 3 years. By doing that small change, we save over $100 billion a year. It's more than $100 billion. I looked at the actuary tables and did the math. So over 10 years, that's $1 trillion we save with that one change. And I reduce the benefits. And what I'm going to actually do for the benefits is I'm going to give people a two-thirds benefit at age 70, meaning I'm not going to give them 100% of what they would get today. I'm going to give them two-thirds of what they would get today. So how can I pull all that off and make people like this idea? Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back to fundamentals, things that our great-grandparents understood. And that is that we have to have home ownership as a way for our retirement lifestyle. We want to have a place to own and live that we call our own. And we haven't been able to do that in this country very well these last few years. So what I do is not only do you have a Social Security account held by the Social Security Administration, you're going to have a personal security account. And the way this works, and I'm sorry for listeners, it's hard to do this on radio, but imagine a bucket in front of you that's now your personal security account, and you can open that bucket at any one any bank, any credit union, any investment house. And every month, let's say you pay $300 to Social Security from your payroll. Well, if you have $300 in your hands, before you give it to Social Security, put $100, one-third, into this bucket. And then when your employer is going to pay $300 to Social Security on your behalf, have him take $100 and put it in this bucket. Following me, Dick?
This would be a little bit like a school voucher system for instead of using it, the money that you pay for public education, you can use it for private education. So you're saying that
exactly that
some of the funds, instead of going to where the government can take it and do whatever they do with it, spend it on things, you know, that they shouldn't. But then this could be privately invested to where the return on it would be substantially greater or potentially substantially greater.
Don't get ahead of me on that, because you may not like what I'm – you're going to love what I do, but before we get to the investment piece, we will talk about that and the benefits of it. So in our bucket right now, everything that you just said, Jack, I got to keep one-third of my money. I got $200 in this bucket that I have control over. Now, the reason I want to have a personal security account, because over time, every month, that $200 on $200 on $200 will add up. Right now, that bucket is something that your heirs can inherit. You can leave it to your children. You could save it for retirement, and at age 59 and a half, have an early retirement option. Because remember, I just said I want to raise the age of retirement to 70. Well, that's not right. That's money that you earned. Now, by giving you this personal security account, that money, that one-third of your benefit, you should be able to enjoy at your leisure, so it can come out at age 59 and a half tax-free and penalty-free. Now, in addition to that, people say, well, Mitch, what else can I do with that money? If it's sitting in that bucket and after a few years it starts to become real money.
All right, so wait a minute. Let's just make sure that I get this a little bit. All right, half of the retirement funds that are mandatory, that are taken out of people's salary, half of it goes into Social Security and the other half goes into private investment. But you'd have to invest it. You wouldn't be able to just kind of like say, well, you know, there's a nice something I want to buy, and then so you use it and not end up having it, because that's what people would do if they could.
Right. You can't just take this one-third of your Social Security benefit. As it builds up in the
It's one-third. So if there's $1,000 a month that goes out, $670 of it essentially goes into the Social Security, and $330 of it would go into the private funding.
Right. So
correct?
Someone over the course of a year who pays $3,000 into this over the course of a year would have $1,000 in this account. Plus, remember, $1,000 from his employer's match. It's not just one-third of what you pay Social Security. It's one-third of what the employer pays.
I see.
Now,
so there would be $2,000 in the private, and then $4,000 in the Social Security, and that is from when people start in their 20s all the way until they can't do anything with it until the private part, and that would be just under 60, and then the Social Security part when they're 70, because you've got to raise the age,
right.
Which. You know, longevity, people are living a lot longer. And, I remember my dad, he couldn't wait until he was 62.
Well,
so he could retire.
Yeah. Well, Jack, we got a lot of ground to cover. So if you weren't, I'm just going to run through this, and you and I can have a lot of time to talk. The $200 in this example, in this bucket, it will accumulate and accumulate and accumulate, as you mentioned, up to just under age 60. But what if, and this is what we should allow people to do, what if you are permitted, and my plan does this, to sweep that $200 out every month and apply it to a mortgage? Imagine the difference that would make on households right now if they were able to apply a portion of their Social Security to a mortgage. Now, some people say, well, Mitch, it's only $200. Sure it is. If you're applying it to interest, that thousands of dollars, you'll say, in long-term interest is huge. If you're just using it to pay the mortgages, that leaves $200 in your pocket that you would have spent anyways on your mortgage. It put $200 more in your pocket. And the reason I do that is because home ownership is critical right now in this nation. And we can talk about, you know, the CDOs and so forth in a second. Now, if someone doesn't want to apply that to a mortgage, what they can do, in addition to allowing it to accumulate for retirement, they can sweep it out every month or let it accumulate for medical expenses. Let's suppose you're a young kid and now you started this account, you're in your 30s, you've got a couple thousand dollars in there, and you have to have a gallbladder removed. And because of the Obamacare regulations, you've got a high deductible on your health care, you can dip into this plan and take that money out to use it to cover your high deductibles. Or you may sweep it out for health care payments for your insurance. So there's three options with this personal security account. Let it accumulate for an early retirement, sweep it out and apply it to a mortgage. And by the way, anybody on that mortgage that also has the title on that house may sweep the money out. So in Bill 1, when we made all those new immigrants legal citizens, if there's two or three families that are tired of paying rent and they want to pool their money together and share a large unit, a large home or townhome, they can sweep out their Social Security payments every month and apply it to the mortgage. So that's something to consider. The reason we're able to do that, so how come I can eliminate the tax ceilings? Because I brought everybody into a 15% tax bracket. But when you think about it, if you're paying 6% on payroll, and I let you keep 2% of your own money plus 2% of your employer's, I literally have turned this bucket into a thing that holds 4% of what you earned that year. Your real out-of-pocket, it's going to feel like 2.2% to Social Security. 2% is what people were charged initially back in 1936. So what I've really done is I've reduced how much money goes to the federal government and how much you, percentage-wise, and how much you get to actually retain for your own control. But because I've lifted that ceiling, millionaires, people that make 10, let's say a person makes $10 million, he's now paying 100 times more in Social Security than he used to. But even though he's paying 100 times more in the Social Security, which is like having 100 more people added to the Social Security payrolls, because I got to expand that base, his real tax is 17.2. Remember, he pays 15 for federal income. He pays 6.2% for Social Security, but I'm giving him 4% of that payroll back. He's really paying 17.2% to the federal government for income and Social Security. And now, the reason I center a lot of this around home ownership is because we have a thing. The top five U.S. banks right now have $279 trillion, with a T, trillion, of derivatives on the books. It's so large, it's theoretical. And what these derivatives are, they're just investment contracts with a buyer and a seller pinned to mortgages for the most part. If we don't continue to pursue people and enable people to pay their mortgages right now, if we go through another foreclosure crisis like we did in 2008, 2009, we're going to have a tsunami roll over our economy that we cannot recover from. And so realtors ought to love this plan. It makes homeownership more easy and more comfortable for people right now in these tight times. It allows people to put some money aside that they may need for health care or not. And it gives them an opportunity to pull money out at 59.5 when they hit that. Now, what can they invest in while this money is in the account? I'm very proud of this. The only thing that can be in this account is a money market account. Because remember, Social Security was always based on the good faith and credit of the United States. But the only instruments in this money market account have to be secondary U.S. treasuries. There are U.S. treasuries that the U.S. Treasury has already printed and issued, whether they sold them overseas or sold them domestically. The demand for these U.S. treasuries will necessarily cause our banks to start buying back our overseas debt. Now, even at the smallest numbers, with 50 million people participating, at the smallest numbers of someone putting $50 in a month, employer matching $50, that works out to be $60 billion a year. And in 10 years, while not a huge number, that $600 billion of outstanding U.S. Treasury debt that American citizens now own, they have skin in the game. When they open up their statement and they say, hey, my portfolio, my value went down, why did it do that? Well, because the credit rating of the U.S. has gone down. But as the credit rating strengthens and we start digging out of our debt, then people see their portfolios rise. And that's what's so important. Now Americans will care how much government spends.
Well, that's,
any questions on this so far?
Dick, what do you think? What do you think? I mean, we've been looking for things that are different. What do you think? What's going through your mind?
It's very intricate, but it seems to cover an awful lot of bases of what this society and this country needs. I mean, we've got to be able to grow, and we're stagnant right now. I just hope in this whole program, though, that Mitch is going to make you and I, they're going to grandfather us old guys.
people do have the option. People have the option to go into this program or not. Even if you're in your 20s and you want to go with a traditional Social Security program, you can do that. But understand, two things absolutely will happen. And they're going to happen anyways, whether I get elected or not. The age is going to go up to 70. It's just going to happen. And benefits are going to be reduced. Congress is already talking about that. But what I'm doing is raising the age and reducing the benefits. But what I'm doing is I'm giving you one-third of the benefits today. I'm not really reducing it in the later years. What I'm doing is I'm paying you now what I would pay you years from now. Now, remember, we have $100 trillion of unfunded Social Security debt on the books. And that's the Social Security we have to pay in the future years that people haven't retired yet. Well, if they sign up for this plan, one-third of that instantly evaporates. And so now I'm looking at, you know, $65 trillion of unfunded liability. But over time, we will start to make this solvent. But I like the idea that people can inherit or leave to their heirs a portion of their benefits if they have an unfortunate event and they die, because the kids can't do that today. I like giving people an option to apply it to home mortgages, because in the old days, our great-grandparents and grandparents burned the mortgages in the fireplace because they always wanted to have that two-bedroom, one-bath house paid for. That was their retirement plan, that they wouldn't owe anything more on that when they're not making as much money. So I'm trying to help with that. And I'm also knowing that healthcare, you know, I have a special needs daughter, and how important it is to families to still be able to afford quality health care. And so I'm giving them an option to even apply a portion of this. And if there's two people in the household working, again, both of these accounts will be set up, one in each person's name, and both of them can speak towards the mortgage, or one can pay towards health care and one can pay towards the mortgage, or they both can save for retirement.
Taking the one-third and using it to build your personal equity in your home strengthens the core of America. The debt that people have, I mean, for just forgetting the national debt that they have of a, you know, for a, it's like $55,000 per person, but for people that are working, the ones that actually work, it's about $150,000. And if you take and retire some of their debt, then that's just going to make them, it's going to make them stronger. And you're right. I remember when I was a kid, my dad saying, you know, we're going to get this house paid for because then they can't take it away from us. And I remember thinking, right, you're not taking a house away from us. Nobody takes houses away from people. That's just crazy. And
well, this government does,
you know,
that.
At the time, it was a little crazy, but it's not crazy now. And it happens to people, and it happens to good people. And, you know, people that had houses that were worth $1 million in 2007 found that they were worth $300,000, and yet they owed $900,000. So they were upside down more than they could make, and they're drowning.
Yes, sir.
In Florida, more than half of the home loans are upside down. In California, it's worse than that. And, you know, in Illinois, it's just as bad. So we've got, we have some things that we have to do to turn this completely around without all of this whining. You know, it seems to me as if people ask the question, what's fair, instead of saying, what can we afford? If the question is, what can we afford, then that gives you the answer to a lot of things that people want to do. A lot of things in life aren't fair. But, you know, we're badly overdrawn. Barack Obama was right. Bush overspent, and he took out, you know, a massive debt that's in the name of our grandchildren, and, you know, on the credit card of the Bank of China. But when Obama became president, however, it was a different story, and he has amassed, he's increased our debt 62% in 5 years.
Yes, sir. Oh, there's one thing I have to correct, too, in our intro, and forgive me, I should have done this up front. I am not active duty in the Marine Corps. I am actually still affiliated. I am in the reserves. I'm in reserve status. I am not retired, but I'm not active duty. I have to make sure that's clear to listeners, because you can't actually run for office and be an active duty officer, but you can do it on reserve status.
After I said that, I should have corrected it, because I knew that. Yeah. So thank you for doing that.
Yeah. Let me touch one thing that you said that was so important, if you don't mind. You said earlier, if people could use this account and save and other mechanisms for their own wealth and get better returns, like I'm assuming you meant stock market. Most people say, well, Mitch, why can't I use the stock market? Well, the thing is I don't want to cause another bubble. So I want people to actually start buying back our own debt from overseas, having skin in the game, and put this thing towards either retirement savings, buying a house, or health care. But remember in Bill 2, when we got rid of capital gains, dividends, and interest taxes, and we lowered the federal income tax down to 15%, by doing those two things, I allow people to keep more money in their pocket and then also get to keep more of their earnings and savings if they do invest. So that is the other option. When people say, I want to invest in this PSA account, I'm like, well, that's why you have such a robust savings plan in Bill 2, that you can choose to do that with your other monies, but not your retirement based on Social Security.
All right, I'm gonna just stop you right here, because there's one other thing I want to talk about. All right, your campaign, you gave the website, but what can people do? How can people help you? You've got six people, isn't that right? If you win, then you're running against whoever the Democrat is, and that Democrat is going to lose. So,
yes, sir.
What can people do in the next 2 minutes? Because we're going to go to the fourth part next week. But tell people what they can do, because we've got to get people involved.
Certainly, on my website. Certainly, I'm going to ask for donations. I have to. I thought I could do this without asking, but I have less than $10,000 in the bank right now, and I'm going up against people who've been campaigning for a year, and they have $100,000 or more. So there's just that reality. But the other thing I could really use on my website, there's a contact. You can contact me. You can leave a comment there. My phone number is in there if you search for it. They can certainly reach me on Facebook. If they want to volunteer, you know, we have 23 counties in the 10th District. Some count 25, but, you know, they're so small that, you know, they don't have a presence. So we've got so many counties, and if people want to volunteer and help me get the word out in their local communities, always, always grateful for that. So monetary donations or just the donation of time and support would go a long way. We have 90 days until the election, and that's in May 20th.
Okay, we got 1 minute literally. Mitch is from Athens, Georgia, and the 10th district goes down just north of Macon and east all the way to what?
It has a portion of Augusta, Georgia, in it. So it's quite large.
Folks, if you want to think about it, it's just half of the place that Sherman burned on the way from Atlanta to Savannah. So, you know, that's where Mitch's district is. Half of the place that was burned. At any rate, we like Mitch, and we're backing him, and we want you to back him. And he's got some ideas, and there aren't many that do. So let me just say this. We're going to just say God bless you, Mitch. God bless the United States of America, and we will talk to you all next week. Bye-bye.